Well, for those of you who have been with us over the years, you'll know that this isn't the first time we've had children involved in the service. I've preached more than one sermon holding a grandchild, which wasn't as noisy, but was a little more physically demanding than this one is in some ways. But today is Trinity Sunday, and once again, this is one of the services that we have every year, and it's one of those things we revisit every year because we need to, because it's one of the things that we have a bit of difficulty figuring out exactly what's going on with Trinity and what it means. And this whole notion of God being three and one at the same time is beyond us, so we may as well just admit it. In the same way that we can't understand or emotionally grasp eternity, no beginning, no end, but we simply accept it as a thing, the Trinity is much the same. And the reason why we bring it up every year is to remind ourselves that it is a thing, that God is three in one. However that works for God, it works. And the three people are God the Creator, God the Redeemer, and God the Holy Spirit. And so what you occasionally run across is people who will tell you that, well, the Holy Spirit didn't show up until Pentecost and all that kind of thing, which is not true. And that was very helpful for us when we read in Proverbs, a book that isn't usually given to this kind of instruction, but talks very much about how wisdom has always been. Wisdom, in this case, is another word for the Spirit. And it's a very interesting use of it, because all of the pronouns in there are female. One of the things we often have to wrestle against or help other people work through is the notion that God looks kind of like me, old guy, white beard, smiting all over the place. And that's the beginning and the end. And the thing is, God has no gender per se. God is God. God is everything. So not just one, all the genders that are or could be or have been. But we lose track of the feminine side, the female side, the other side of God more easily than we lose track of that sort of male side, because that's what we hear. It's a problem in English, where for years, for centuries, we had he was considered a collective pronoun for all people. Like when you talked about all men, it did include everybody in this room. 100 years ago, everybody knew that. Today, not everybody does. And so we've moved into some different kinds of language, but sometimes our ideas need to catch up. So one of the things that the Trinity does, because it's not about trying to figure out how the math works, because the math can't work. 1 + 1 + 1 = 1 is not arithmetic. It's theology, it's something altogether different. It doesn't have to work that way. But what we do is we come and think not so much about how these things work together, but what can it mean to us? Well, it reminds us that God has all of the aspects of the feminine to understand what it's like to be a woman, in the same way to be a man, in the same way to be non-binary. As somebody said, God was the first they, them, because all is included in God. And so we have passages like this to remind us that God has always been more than we thought and always will be more than we can think. Not because we're foolish, not because we don't try, but because God is beyond us, which is what we're looking for. We don't want a God that's just like us, even though we frequently make one, or at least it seems that we do, or the people who are around us want us to think that God looks like this or that or whatever else it is. But the Trinity brings us back to the idea, brings us back to the understanding that God is fundamentally beyond us while still connecting with us in ways that can make sense to us. God the Creator is pretty big for me, and I find it difficult to wrap my head around how all of that works. Jesus, I understand, sort of, the human part I understand without any trouble. How simultaneously God is in there, that's beyond me, and that's okay. That's another one of those things that we can understand in one way, but we can't grasp. So I can understand how God came to be with us and to experience life like us, to experience all the things from the small annoyances of life, of stubbing your toe, of having friends talk behind your back, right? Having people making noise next to you when you preferred them not to, all of those things. Jesus experienced all that. And so we know that God took the physical experience all the way from the trivial to the utmost of death into God's self. Not that God knew needed that, but we need that to know that that's what's going on. And then when we look at the three together, one of the things that that tells us is that God is fundamentally, from before the beginning of time, before the beginning of everything, relational. Relational first within God's self, and that helps us understand why it is that God went to such lengths to develop a relationship with us. Because of all the things that Jesus did, Jesus said, I can be friends with you. Jesus had friends. They weren't all great friends, any more than anybody else's friends are all great. I wasn't a great friend sometimes. But Jesus came to earth and said, this demonstrates beyond any doubt that God can be in a relationship with us that means something. Jesus' vulnerability demonstrates the care that God has for us. If Jesus wouldn't have come, for me anyway, there would be a God who is always somewhere up there, if you know what I mean, at a distance always. A God who would look at what I was going through and perhaps think, oh, well, that's unfortunate. I hope that gets better, or whatever I would happen to think. But because of Jesus, what I have is this realization that God has experienced what I've experienced. Maybe not exactly, but the things that matter. Jesus never had a car accident, but he had stressful situations. You know, Jesus never gave birth, but he was around people who were. He understood that from as much as any external person can. And so we know for sure that within God's self, we can be understood in a way that is true to what it means for any human being to understand us, for anyone to enter into our lives, only more so because it's God. And so we get together once a year to look at the mystery of the Trinity, to see what it tells us this year. And the thing that I'm taking from it this year more than anything else is that relationality of God. As I have grown, I have found myself more and more attuned to God reaching to me in relationship. And because of that, I find myself responding back. I don't know if I'm just a slow learner, if it just took me a while, or if this was just the best time for me. I don't know. But I'm more aware of that, and I'm far more accepting of it because of the passages of Scripture we had read for us today that talk about God with us in all sorts of ways. All through Scripture, we see God being with God's people. Not to keep an eye on us, not to punish us when we make a mistake, but that we might be close enough to have the relationship that God wants with us. Because God knows, and we are beginning to know, or at least I'm beginning to know, that it's in a relationship with God that I become all that I'm meant to be. It's in my relationship with God that I become a better father, a better partner, a better person. And I couldn't have done that without it. Mm-hmm. So the relationship that God models for us, the of perfection, of Creator, Redeemer, and Spirit, sort of always going in the dance of the Trinity, I've heard it said, which I think is a very lovely and poetic image, says that I can be invited in, and so can you, and you are. You've been invited into this dance of relationship because God loves us, not because God has to, because God doesn't have to. And so on this Trinity Sunday, what I want us to take, assuming we can zero in and take anything from some of the distractions we've got, including me, is I want us to take the reminder that God began in relationship before anything and came to us with that sense of the value of relationship and says, I want to be in a relationship with you because I love you.